We're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. These two verses are part of this section in 1 John 4, verses 1 through 4. And the Apostle John is warning concerning false teachers. But these verses in verse 5 and 6 are so profound, they require an entire message. At least so that we remember these verses. The more we experience the culture, the conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the more these verses take on great significance. You know, when you have an academic understanding of something, a truth, a principle, but then you experience it, and then you understand it on a whole new level. We're not just reading these verses, we're living these verses. As John writes in 1 John, there's this love toward the world, and there's a love toward God. There are the children of God and the children of the devil. There are those who confess Jesus and those who do not confess Jesus, chapter 4, verse 3. There's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error, chapter 4, verse 6. And one of the ways this is discerned and shown in the physical world is by who you listen to. So we can add another sign to the mark or the sign of being a true Christian, this list that we've been compiling. Last week, we looked at the one who is truly born of God will confess Jesus as the Messiah come in the flesh. But now, chapter 4, verse 6, the one who's born of God listens to us. And of course, we need to define later on who is the us. But the first thing we notice in chapter 4, verse 5 is this contrast, this thesis, this antithesis. Verse 5, those of the world and what they give voice to and what they hear and who hears them. And verse 6, those who are from God, what we say, what we hear, and those who listen to us. And this might sound pretty simple, but is actually quite profound. We are on a world stage. And is it not true that every soul is being tested by what each soul is attracted to? What truths or non-truths you gravitate toward? And maybe that's what this world stage is all about. To let time and events expose the inclinations and the dispositions of our hearts. Just like Simeon in the temple, when baby Jesus was brought into the temple, he prophesied about Jesus. He is a light of revelation to the Gentiles to the end, that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed. That's a pretty good way of looking at the world. You know, we really do need a framework in which we can understand all the craziness that's going on today. This is a world stage. It's not a place just to have fun or a place for pleasure. Although we do have fun and we do have lots of pleasures. Biblically, this is a stage upon which eternal moral choices are being made. So in this letter to the churches, you know, these two verses sum up what Jesus himself said in the Gospels about who you hear, who you're attracted to, and how that exposes the condition of your soul. The Gospel of John and this letter to the churches sometimes follow some of the same themes. John, in his letter, now expands on it and applies it to the church. But this is what Jesus said concerning who you hear or who you don't hear, such as chapter 1, verse 11 of the Gospel of John. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. There are those who are receiving Jesus, those who are not receiving Jesus. And also, I got this verse, yes, John 13, 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Okay, so if you receive Jesus, you're receiving the Father. And if you receive the ones Jesus sent, you're receiving Jesus. And if you're receiving Jesus, you're receiving the Father. Also, in Jesus' words to Nicodemus, light has come into the world. Men love the darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. So if you hate the light, you're not going to come to the light. You don't want your deeds exposed. But the person who practices the truth will come to the light. Who do you come to? You're coming to the truth, or you're going to the lie, you're going to the light, or you're going to the darkness. Again, notice people are divided according to what they're attracted to. Then, of course, Jesus talked about who you listen to extensively in John chapter 10 in the great lesson about the great shepherd. I am the good shepherd, John 10, 14, and I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27, and I know them, they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. They shall never perish. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. Also, John 10, 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The sheep hear the voice. John chapter 10, verse 5, a stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Depending on the disposition of your heart, that will determine what voices you listen to. And here's a radical verse that will completely overturn your understanding of the nature of salvation. Chapter 10, verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus does not say, you are not my sheep because you do not believe. But he says, you do not believe because you're not my sheep. You catch the difference there? Being God's sheep actually comes before personal saving faith. Not that you're saved the moment you're born, but God knows who are going to be his. As many as who are ordained unto eternal life believed, as it says in Acts chapter 3. The Bible doesn't depict evangelism as this desperate attempt to convince incorrigible people of the truth, okay? But the Bible depicts evangelism as going out and rounding up people who already have a divinely inspired thirst for the truth. And when you meet these people and you give them the gospel, they listen, they ask questions. And it's a real delight, isn't it? Because you know a baby is about to be born in the faith. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 21, right? Those who practice the truth come to the light, that it may be manifest as having been wrought in God. The one who comes to the truth, that's such a miraculous, supernatural event that any person born and dead in their trespasses and sins would actually come to Christ and to truth. That is such a miraculous event that Jesus went on to say that shows that that is wrought or produced by God. So the point is, we evidence the condition of our soul by who we listen to. Have you ever had the Jehovah Witnesses or the Mormons knock on your door? I was looking at a satirical piece on the website Babylon Bee this week. This is kind of funny. I'm not going to put it up here, but the article went like this. New smart doorbell will argue with Jehovah Witnesses and LDS missionaries for you. Security and smart home manufacturer Ring recently announced a new version of its innovative video doorbell. The Debate Ring Pro is designed to engage in theological arguments with visitors from other religions. When the video monitor software detects an LDS missionary, a Jehovah's Witness, for example, the device gently but firmly recites verses supporting the deity of Christ and other defenses for Orthodox theology. I thought that was kind of humorous. But anyway, years ago, a woman in our church had Jehovah's Witnesses come to her door, and she told me her response to them, which I thought, wow, this woman really understands the Word of God. She said to these Jehovah's Witnesses, you are sent to gather up everyone who doesn't want the truth. Wow, most people don't see it quite that way, that the false teachers and the false ideologues in this world, you say, oh, they're a real problem. No, God allows that, all right, to make the distinction between those who are of the truth and those who are not of the truth. Now, as we look at this text, the immediate application of 1 John 4, 5 through 6 is false prophets. They are from the world, all right? And, you know, he mentions false prophets in chapter 4, verse 1. But as I mentioned last week, The biblical application of false prophets is much broader. The biggest religion in this world is what? Secular humanism, right? False prophets include college professors, authors, politicians, movie makers, entertainers, PBS, seminar speakers. Kanye West apparently has accepted the Lord as a savior. I was actually listening to excerpts of his new album. And although it's not my cup of tea, to say the least, he actually added some melodious songs. He's moving right direction. He actually said after he accepted the Lord that rap music is the devil's music. And I would be doubtful of this, but he's actually being discipled by people who attend John MacArthur's church. And so it's incredible. But in an article I read this week about him, this 40-year-old Kanye West explained that he no longer views himself as a slave to the music industry, but a free son of God spreading the gospel. Now that I'm in the service to Christ, my job is to spread the gospel, to let people know what Jesus has done for me. I spread a lot of things. There was a time I was letting you know what high fashion has done for me. I was letting you know what Hennessy had done for me. But now I'm letting you know what Jesus Christ has done for me. And in that, I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son now, a son of God. I am free. It's amazing. God contradicts the ways of man and he shows the culture something about the power of God. But before, he was speaking as from the world, what he was promoting. But now in Christ, he says, I am an ambassador for Christ. What a change. So what do you like? What do you like to hear? That says more about you than the thing you like. You love the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, or do you love God? Who do you listen to? Is going to church that much of a big deal? Some people who go to church just out of tradition and habit, and it's not a sure sign that someone's a Christian just because they go to church. But Christians are attracted to the Word of God and to Christian fellowship. You know, living in a barn doesn't make you a cow, but cows live in a barn. And going to church doesn't make you a Christian, but Christians go to church. So if you fail the who are you listening to test, that is really a sign you don't know the Lord. That's what John is really talking about here. That you're not from God, that you're from the world. And that's why this church is not packed out this morning with unbelievers. They're listening to a different voice. They march to the tune of a different drummer. So 1 John 4, 5 through 6 is really a timeless principle. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Some people listened to him, got on the boat. Some didn't. Moses with the Israelites in the wilderness. Some people identified with Moses and with Jehovah God. Other people with the golden calf. When Jesus came, he was received by some, rejected by others, received by the sheep, rejected by the goats. The seed is the word of God. It falls sometimes in good soil and also on rocky soil. So with this background of just generally thinking about who we listen to, let's go ahead and look at this text and kind of break it down here. It says, they are from the world. So notice that false prophets, or really unbelievers generally, are described as having their origin in this world. What do we know about this world? We're not talking about this planet Earth, but the world, the cosmos, as it's defined here in the Greek, means the system of the world. As it's defined in 1 John chapter 2, 15, all that is in the world, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And who is the god of this world? Satan. How do we know that? Well, Jesus said this, now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. John 14:30, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. See the contrast between what is in Christ and his holiness and sin. There's nothing of Satan in Christ or in God's people. John 16:11, and concerning the judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. But notice, Jesus explains the status of his people. The high priestly prayer, John 17, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I do not ask you to take them out of this world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world. He says it again. We're in this world physically, but we are not of this world. We are seated in the heavenlies. We are in Christ. And just as Jesus was not of this world, we have now taken that same status. So you can honestly say, my pastor is out of this world. And I can say about the members of the Harbor, they are really out of this world. Now, the text says, they speak from the world. There is a message that is as from this world. There is a unified body of false beliefs that are characteristic of this world. There's actually a doctrinal statement of the kingdom of Satan. I think I could probably figure out what it is. Satan doesn't usually pass out copies of it. I suppose one of the tenets of the doctrinal statement of Satan is that people should have the right to self-rule. People should just be concerned with their own affirmation. Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law in Satan's kingdom. In Satan's doctrinal statement, you're basically good. And that God is unfair to require anything from you. And you're basically your own God. Can you think of any other statements that might be in Satan's doctrinal statement? Russ? Okay. Or evils caused by your environment. Yeah. Anything else that comes to mind? Yeah, Book of Judges. Yes. What helps us to understand what we believe is sometimes to look at what we don't believe. What we confess is kind of clarified by looking at what we don't confess. Because there are two confessions in this world. The message of the world. Hey, you really want to understand what the message of the world is? Go on to Netflix or Amazon Prime and look at all the movies and the titles. Vast wasteland. I mean, it's just, if somebody, an alien from another planet came here and wanted to evaluate what's in the hearts of people, just look at the entertainment and the movies. Okay, every once in a while, a Christian truth slips its way in there and there's a movie that has like a moral. But even then, even the movies that give you some sort of a moral message, it's not generated by God. It's that the hero of the story, out of his own goodness, out of his own heart, actually overcomes and has some moral principles. But it's not about the Lord. Even in movies today, people become good by their own merits. Anyway, the third phrase is, and the world listens to them. If you're of the world, you're going to be interested in the narratives of the world. Birds of a feather flock together. The sheep hang out with the sheep. The swine hang out with the swine. 2 Peter 2:22, it happened unto them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. This reminds us of Paul's words to Timothy, who was the pastor at the Ephesus church. And Paul told Timothy that the unsaved are going to be attracted to false teachers. In the latter times, 1 Timothy 4:1, a lot of people are going to fall away from the faith. And what are they going to do? They're going to pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Why do they want to pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons? Because they're not interested in the faith. They're lovers of the lie. And then in the second letter to Timothy, he says the same thing. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they want to have their ears tickled. They're going to accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desire. I like that. They accumulate. Come on, teachers. All you false teachers, come here. I want to listen to you. They accumulate them. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. They just have this desire for error. One commentator said it this way, the world in rebellion to God is attracted by the false prophets and the cults because fundamentally they have the same desires and inclinations. In fact, this whole church age will end with the world being amazed and following after who? The Antichrist. And all who dwell on the earth will do what? Worship him. Revelation 13. And Jesus said this, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, what are you going to do? You're going to receive him. If you don't receive the true Messiah, you're going to be attracted to the false Messiah. If Jesus is not your king, who's going to be your king? We have no king but Caesar. Government, ultimately the Antichrist. And even Jesus says when the Antichrist, Paul writes, when the Antichrist comes, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, his coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan. He's going to come with power and signs and false wonders and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish because they don't receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So they're going to be attracted to the Antichrist. So, you know, this theme is throughout the New Testament, right? If you don't love the truth, you're going to be attracted to the lie and you're going to be fooled by the lie. You think, oh no, I'm not going to follow Satan. I'm not going to be deceived by satanic ideology. No, you're going to be attracted to it like bees are attracted to honey. I mean, if you're unsaved and you're here this morning, you're probably not even listening to most of what I'm saying, okay? Because you're still living in your own bubble. So verse 5 gives the evidence that these people are not of God. But now, in verse 6, the condition of God's people. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us, but he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So notice again our origins. We are from God. You say, isn't everyone from God? Since God's the creator of all? No, not in a spiritual sense. Just as Jesus was from God, now that we're in him, we too are also from God. And being from God is another title or description of being saved. We don't use it very often, do we? We usually say, hey, are you born again? Are you saved? We don't usually come up to another believer and say, hey, are you from God? Are you not from God? But it is actually another biblical title for being saved. It's a pretty good description, actually. And here's the test. He who knows God listens to us, and he who is not from God does not listen to us. He who knows God, by the way, is also another title for being a Christian. The us, you say, could be any cult that claims to be, hey, we're the truth. If you don't listen to us, you're not spiritual. But that's not right. The us was defined in the Middle Ages as being the Roman Catholic Church or the Roman Catholic hierarchy. They profess to be the true church with headquarters in Rome. Some commentators emphasize that the us is referring to John and the apostles. Without John having to go into great detail, the reader is to discern that the us is the body of truth embodied in the gospels and communicated by the apostles. And Paul had the same teaching in Galatians 1:9. As we said before, so I say again, now if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed, received from the apostles. And Christians believe that Christ has come and he's ordained the apostles as the foundation of the church. How do we know that they're true? Well, back to John chapter 10, my sheep will hear my voice. You will resonate with the truth. You'll say, that's the voice of my Father. But I think in a broader sense, as you look at this verse, the us can actually include all believers. There is a body of Christ on earth, a church. You see many different denominations, but don't let that discourage you. Just because men decide to build lots of institutions, there still is the one unified church, the body of Christ, that transcends national borders and language. We confess the same faith. We experience the same Holy Spirit. And this group is unique and this group is identifiable. And that's the us. And those who are of the truth will identify with the people of God in this world. We have a small following. Narrow is the way. The heretics, the apostates, the secularists, they have a really big following. But by this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What a person is attracted to, the truth, the people of God. One commentator is commenting on the, we know, this demands that believers be alert to distinguish between two spirits being out there. And notice the contrast John makes here. It's not just truth versus error. It's the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. Not just the person of truth or the person of error, but he's emphasizing that there's a spiritual reality behind each person and each confession. One commentator said it this way, two distinct moral realms competing for control over the mass of humanity. And you know, the Holy Spirit is described as the spirit of truth, who will be with you forever. And those who are of God proclaim the truth of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the spirit of error, the Antichrist spirit, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, or as John said, the spirit that's now already in this world. So by way of conclusion, who do you listen to? The first convert in Europe was who? It's kind of hard to define really where the boundary of Europe starts and ends, but it's Lydia, The woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, when Paul received the Macedonian vision, rather than going east, you know, back over to the Orient, he was led of the Lord to go west. And a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabric, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. It was of the Lord. The Lord opened her heart. She responded. Those who are of God listen to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.